The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So for this morning, rather than giving a talk, I'd prefer to respond to some questions or comments if you have any. So does anyone have any, well, it's, you know, short notice, right, but did any of you have any questions or things you'd like to ask, bring up? Yes, Nina.
Yeah, it's a little bit on short notice, but I've been thinking about how does the idea of boundaries. How do I integrate that into my personal relationships? And so I thought about, you know, something that comes in mind is a personal relationship where I could say, and this is more in the romantic kind of situation, where I could say, well, I think the best for me would be to not see you again and not be in touch with you, and I wish you well. So that is one possibility. And then in the other possibility, in terms of compassion and maintaining, in the light of compassion, Then I'm wondering, do I say, okay, that sounds kind of drastic. I never really want to be in touch with you. Because I know that it's not true, right? Time will take care of things, right? So how does compassion, how does this practice integrate setting boundaries and also maintain compassion, or are they the same thing in some ways, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question and a common enough concern that your question is, you know, is a question that many people are interested in. And it might be helpful to put aside the English word boundaries, because it's a word that's used a lot, and it's a little bit vague what it means, and it's a metaphor. You know, there's boundaries, fences. We put up our fences. Good fences make good neighbors. Good boundaries make good friends. Whatever. But what are we talking about when we're talking about boundaries? And I think one of the things we're talking about is we're taking care of ourselves. And so if we're taking care of ourselves, how well do we know ourselves? Do we know what our needs are? Do we know how we're impacted? Are we in touch with ourselves in a clear way? And then, and if we know ourselves really well, then how do we take care of ourselves so that we're not overwhelmed, we're not doing things we don't want to do? How do we take care of ourselves so we take responsibility for our own well-being? Then if someone comes along and asks you something or involves you in ways that don't feel comfortable for you, you know yourself well enough, you know, this. I'm uncomfortable right now. This makes me uncomfortable, and I think we need to kind of stop and look at this, or I want you to know I'm uncomfortable. Or maybe you don't talk to them, but you realize you're uncomfortable and you need to take care of yourself, pull back or go to the bathroom and regroup or do something. But to start with the idea of boundaries, which is an abstraction, people can easily make too strong boundaries or keep certain people away, or it becomes a policy almost. But if you start with being in touch with yourself and knowing how to be present for discomfort, recognizing when you're uncomfortable, and then from there start asking the question, what do I need now? What's the wise thing in this situation? And then if you're good enough friends with someone, you can share your discomfort with them and say, you know, I'm uncomfortable with, you know, you're sitting so close to me, you know. You're almost touching. And it makes me uncomfortable to have that. I care about you, and But you know, you're in, you know, I feel like you're in my personal space, and so then you don't have to harden up. Sometimes I get the idea that people use the word boundaries too much. They harden up. They get stiff and hard. Like there's this hard and fast kind of inside and outside kind of thing. But if you start with your discomfort, which is a then you don't have to, it doesn't be hard and fast, and you can kind of find yourself in a particular situation. What's needed? How fluid are you? How do you speak up around your needs? And then that's the kind of the you know, taking care of yourself side, and then there's taking care of the other people, and that's compassion. And there also, I think it's important not to have a policy. I think policies get you in trouble, so you're supposed to act a certain way to people. But rather, again, come back to yourself and see what is going on in your heart. Can you? What does it take to have a heartfelt connection or a personal connection? Or what's your? How do you take in and see the person you're with? And again, with idea of boundaries, sometimes almost limits our ability to see the other as another. And so, I found in my practice that. I think when I first started practicing in the 70s, the word boundaries didn't have any positive connotations that it has now. I don't know when in psychology they came up with the idea of boundaries, but I probably didn't learn about the word the way it's used nowadays until maybe the late 90s or mid-90s or something. It's kind of like a modern idea. And but from when I started practicing, the big revelation for me in practice was my boundaries dissolved. You know, I thought, you know, my boundaries were kept me separate and kept me hard, and you know, back in the 70s, boundaries were bad. I think they're referring to something different. And but it's easy to have an idea, and it gets in the way of the heartfelt connection. So what happened to me in practice is I started to feel connected to people and felt the heartfeltness, and that's a beautiful quality. And then how to take care of both, how to allow for the heartfelt connection to others, care for others, and to care for yourself and take care of yourself and do this both at the same time, is a really important thing for anybody to learn to do. And it's a way of, and one thing that gets in the way of doing that is when we overemphasize one side or the other. If we think that the other people are important and we're supposed to always be kind and supportive of others and that we don't count, that's we get into trouble. But if we're only about ourselves, me, myself, and mine, it's all about me, and the other people kind of, don't count in some way, that you also get in trouble. But how to treat self and other equally? You're equally valuable, equally important. And so how do you handle that? And if you're in a relationship with someone and you make the unilateral decision that this is what's going to happen in the relationship, it's not exactly respectful of the other person. Sometimes you have to, because if they're getting the saucepan out of the kitchen and hitting you over the head, I think you better make a unilateral decision. You know, stop. but you know, how do you include the other person in a decision? Even if you're really clear that you have to make a decision to end the relationship, can you do it in a way that is not like you closing the door, but saying, you know, I think we need to kind of end this relationship, and I'd like to discuss this with you. Then it feels a little bit more like respected and included, and it's easier for you to stay connected in a compassionate way. If you just say no more, I think that your capacity for compassion gets limited as well. So I don't know if all that was useful or to the point, but... Maybe we have time for one more. Yes, if the question and answer can be shorter. We have about 5 minutes.
I'd love to hear if you have something to say about attachment to tranquility.
Attachment, so tell me how it works for you.
Well, I like being calm and peaceful. I can start developing attachment.
How do you know you're attached? What's the symptoms of... Because liking it is fine. What are the symptoms? How do you know you're attached?
Perhaps if I get out of it, it brings up other hindrances.
So when you're not calm, then it brings out other hindrances.
Sure.
And so the attachment to calm is also an aversion to the hindrances?
Yeah.
So you have preferences.
Sure.
And so have you ever tried turning towards the hindrances and getting to know them better?
Sure.
And what happens then?
Ping pong.
Oh, ping pong. What does that mean, ping pong? Oh, I see. And so part of the motivation to get attached to tranquility is to avoid the discomfort of the hindrances. It's so uncomfortable to be there, and so. So the attachment is partly a reactive against the discomfort of the other states. So if that's the case, what do you think is a wise thing to do? What do you think is wise? In what way? Can you say, it sounds good, but can you explain what you mean by that? That's nice, but that's probably only half the answer. What about the hindrances? So the other half is to notice the hindrances
Sure.
without pushing them away. And if you can do both, if you can find that ability not to be tranquil and not hold on to it and have difficulties like the hindrances and not push them away, not react to them, then you find the middle way, the midway, where you have a chance to answer your own questions.
Sure.
You'll find your way then. Okay, great. So thank you. So we'll take a...